Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today, well, we got a lot to get to. A lot of local sports. Of course, right now, the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament is taking place at the BDAC in our own backyard. To have a conference tournament like this here is so much fun. Last night was a great way to start it. USU Eastern Lady Eagles blasted through Colorado, picking up a 35-point win. They will take on Salt Lake Community College in the semifinals here in about an hour. That's when our live coverage is going to begin anyways, at 5 p.m. Tip-off is actually set for 5:30, but immediately following Drive Time Sports, we'll send you out to Sonny Buscarini and Greg Dart. Those two will join you courtside, and they'll bring us the play-by-play call. Looking forward to that. Immediately after, the men will then take over, and I'll be joined by Travis Anderson. We'll bring you the play-by-play call. Hopefully, we end up talking about two conference championship games. I mean, that would be so great if that was the case tomorrow night. So a lot of USU Eastern action coming up. Again, live coverage will begin at 5 p.m. On the local sports front here on the show today, we're going to be joined by two coaches. Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Spartan Boys basketball team will join us over the phone. Coach Jeffs will help us recap and put the final touches on the 2018-2019 basketball season for Emory, which came to a close this past Saturday. Emory topping Manti to close out the season in the third and fourth place game. I thought it was a phenomenal year for these boys, and I had a lot of fun watching them play. I mean, they're undersized. You get up and down the court with this team. You see a lot of points scored. To me, it was a very entertaining year. Looking forward to talking with Coach Jeffs, as always, to recap the season. And then we're going to start talking baseball. Tuesday, the season begins for Carbon High School and for Emory. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dado baseball team will join us in just a bit. He'll join us in studio. We'll talk about next week. The team in general, tryouts, all that good stuff. So we're going to get our local baseball talk starting to roll here on the show today as well. Let's take a look at some of the national sports headlines, and we will begin on the NBA. This happened very, very fast. Pau Gasol agreed to a contract buyout with the San Antonio Spurs, which leads him to join the Milwaukee Bucks. All this happened in like an hour and a half span. Now, players have to be waived by basically 9:59 tonight Mountain Time to become available for playoff activation. And so it had to work quickly. Now, the move sets the stage for Pau Gasol to join a potential championship-contending team in Milwaukee, which I think Pau still has some ball left in him. I think he can contribute. Maybe not in a major way, but he's going to contribute. He's going to add depth to a team that is competing for an NBA championship. Now he's going to get to battle his brother Marc Gasol, who joined Toronto. So Pau right now with the Milwaukee Bucks, Mark with the Toronto Raptors. That's 1A, 1B as far as the Eastern Conference goes. Gasol is going to give the Bucks something they don't have, and that's championship experience. They have none. He's one of the better teammates and mentors of that back-to-back Laker championship squad in 2009 and 2010. I think it's a huge move for the Milwaukee Bucks, and Pau's a guy that will just slide right in, and I don't think he's going to miss a beat with that roster. I think this is good stuff if you're a Milwaukee Buck fan. This, as we move to the NFL, this is another story that comes out today, and I think it speaks volumes to where we're at this day and age. You will never hear me say anything negative about Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, is a top-notch guy. And I think most people would agree. But Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, are trying to make a change to overtime of the NFL. So Andy Reid and Chiefs general manager Brett Veach told Pro Football Talk Live today that Reed was developing a proposal that would provide an opportunity for each team to have an offensive possession in overtime. No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Anytime we deem something unfair, first off, let's back it up. Is it unfair? Right? Because someone tells me that the Kansas City Chiefs lost the AFC Championship game when the Patriots won the coin toss. That's not true. The Kansas City Chiefs lost that game when they allowed Tom Brady and the New England Patriots to dissect them and move right down the field. That's when the Chiefs lost that game. It wasn't the coin flip. Your defense makes a stop, you have a chance to win the game. I'm okay with the current setup of overtime in the NFL. And I guess what rubs me the wrong way is, would the Chiefs honestly be complaining about the way overtime is set up had they won that AFC Championship game? Come on. Look, a rule is a rule. Just make a defensive stop. That's all you got to do. To me, it's really that simple. I like the rule. Puts emphasis on defense. And it's, again, like I said, it's a sign of the times. We don't ever want to acknowledge defense. You have to play defense to win a Super Bowl. Right? Chiefs had that opportunity. They could not stop the Patriots. I just hate the fact that a team that lost in overtime in the AFC Championship is now trying to figure out a way to get the rule fixed. It shouldn't take that. Like, if this is something that's going to change, shouldn't all the owners and general managers and coaches come together on it? To me, it's just kind of a wham-wham moment for the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. That's how it comes across to me anyways. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. We'll bounce back over to basketball. 5:30 start time tonight. We get the Chicago Bulls on the road taking on the Atlanta Hawks. The Charlotte Hornets will travel to beat the Brooklyn Nets. That game's also at 5:30. 6 p.m. tonight on ESPN, Portland meets up with the Toronto Raptors. We get the Celtics and the Wizards at 6 p.m. Phoenix welcoming in New Orleans at 7. Two nightcap games tonight. The Clippers at Sacramento, 8 p.m. start time there. And the Lakers will play host to the Milwaukee Bucks. That game is also on ESPN, set for an 8:30 start time. Again, we got a great show coming up for you. A lot of local sports. We're going to get it rolling in just a moment. Recap of everything that went down last night, plus Coach Todd Jeffs and Jeff Cincinnatus will join us on the show in just a bit. It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with junior college basketball, where yesterday the USU Eastern women earned a first-round victory over Colorado Northwestern 95-60 at the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament held at the BDAC. The Lady Eagles were led by Emily Wagstaff. In this contest, Emily scored 18 points. She was helped out by Lainey Jensen, who contributed 15. Alyssa Crumley chipped in with 11. Again, the win moves the Lady Eagles to the second round of the tournament, which will take place this evening. They'll go toe-to-toe with Salt Lake Community College. Start time for this contest is set for 5:30 p.m. The other game on the women's side of the bracket will be Southern Idaho and Snow. Start time for that game is set for noon. Now we move over to the men's bracket. And last night, the USU Eastern Eagles defeated Colorado Northwestern 67-52. In this win, freshman Blaze Neal just missed out on a triple-double. He scored 26 points, accumulated 11 boards, and handed out 9 assists. Augie Pantovic finished with 9 points and 10 rebounds, while Chase Berry chipped in with 9 points as well. As a team, USU Eastern shot 40% from the field, while holding Colorado to just 16 of 50. Now, with a victory under their belt, USU Eastern will look to continue the season and extend it to the conference championship game. Standing in their way, it's the Snow College Badgers. USU Eastern will take the court tonight at the BDAC. Start time for that contest is set for 7:30 p.m. And, of course, you will be able to listen to the live play-by-play call on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. In fact, last night, following the victory, we caught up with Blaze Neal, who talked about the complete team effort in the opening round win over Colorado.
I think we knew of their potential this time. We kind of overlooked them the first time out there, and the second time they got us in overtime. This time we knew what we had to do. It's tournament time, and everyone's got to tap in and get the job done. So we came out with that mindset, and we were able to do it as a team. It was a team effort, and we went out there and punched them in the mouth early and just kept the lead the whole time and coasted to a victory.
Again, live pregame coverage will begin at
5 p.m. tonight with the women's game, followed by the men's immediately after. During the pregame show, you'll be able to listen to this complete interview with Blaze Neild, and you'll also hear from head coach Al Jamapacelli. We move over to local mixed martial arts, and coming up tomorrow, Fierce Fighting Championship will travel on the road for the finale of their lightweight Grand Prix Championship tournament, which began close to a year ago, as Nate Kersley will take on Bobby King in Salt Lake City at the State Fair Park. If you're unable to travel up north for the event, make sure you tune in to KOALITV.com. Live coverage will begin at 6 p.m., followed by the start time immediately after. Again, that's Fierce Fighting Championships. Lightweight Grand Prix Championship taking place tomorrow on KOALITV.com. On Monday, we will recap the entire event. And we stick with the local sports front, where today on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, we will continue the high school basketball season wrap-up, as Emory High School basketball coach Todd Jeffs will be a guest on the show. Plus, we'll dive into the previews for the baseball season. Carbon baseball head coach Jeff Cincinnatus will join us today as well. That's coming up on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, which will begin at 4 p.m. on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. I'm going to talk more high school basketball. Earlier in the week, we were joined by Carbon High head coach Kyle Wilson as we recapped the Dino season, which came to an end in the opening round of the 3A state tournament. They lost to the eventual state champion Morgan Trojans. Today, we are going to talk Emory High School boys basketball. Now, Emory finished third overall at the state tournament. I thought they performed well. Knocked off South Summit in the opening round, defeated Grand in the quarterfinals, lost to Richfield in the semifinals, but answered the call. They beat Manti in the third and fourth place game. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Todd Jeffs over the phone right now. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, so good to be here one more time this year, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm a little bit sad by that. I mean, high school basketball, it's so much fun. We have so much fun with it for about 3 or 4 months, Coach, and now, unfortunately, it's over. But there were some positives for this Emory team. I know the ultimate goal is always a state championship, but, Coach, a win in the third-place game over Manta to close out the season, we can start by talking about that game. I thought the kids showed a lot of heart in that contest. I always call those character matchups, because you really never know how the kids are going to respond, knowing that the state championship hopes are gone. But I thought the kids played really hard in that game, and you guys came out with a victory.
Yeah, I thought our guys really responded well. I thought they were going to come out strong. I felt pretty good before the game, and it was a really good game and a really entertaining game to watch. I'm sure it, a lot of back and forth, and they'd go on a little bit of surge and then would answer it. And then, kind of at the end, we just kind of hit those shots. Cade was huge for us, and hitting those 3-point shots, when he does that, obviously we're a much better team, and he kind of gave us that separation. And then we played strong through the end. I thought our game management the last 4 minutes of the game was really good. Hit some free throws and didn't turn the ball over too much. It was a good, solid game through and through.
It seemed like any time Cade was on, Coach, this season, I mean, we go back to the game against Richfield in the regular season, Cade had 27, 28 points, if I remember right, and that was a game that we definitely should have won. He was kind of the glue, I guess, when he came back after the Christmas break for this team offensively.
Well, he really adds another dimension for us, and it's one more guy that they have to guard, and in doing that, it opens up the lane a little bit more for Braxton Kyson, and I think, the combination of it worked good. We just never found a lot of consistency with Cade. He kind of came and went. Like you said, when he was on, we were it kind of elevated our team to another level, and that happened 4 or 5 games throughout the season, and you could see the potential of what was going to happen there, but it was just, it had a hard time finding some consistency there game to game.
We'll go back one game previous to the Manti contest, Coach, semifinals against Richfield. We knew going in that Richfield was a very good team. You and I had talked about it throughout the year, and in fact that Richfield may be one of the top teams in the state. I know they came up short against Morgan, but I don't think there was any doubt that they were one of the top three or two best teams in the state. And you go back and you look at the previous meetings in the regular season, we were in every game. I know there was a rally in the game at Emory, if I remember correctly, in Castledale, but the one at Richfield we had late in the contest. So I guess in my mind, Coach, going into that game, I felt comfortable with the matchup.
I really did, too. I thought we were going to give them all they could handle and then, you know, have a chance to win at the end. But holy cow, they came out that first quarter and just hit those threes, and it was real similar to the game, you know, at Moab where we just ran into a buzzsaw. And I thought our defense was fairly decent. I mean, we weren't just in lockdown mode where we were just really harassing every shot they took. But you know, in high school especially, if you can get shooters to shoot over a hand, you know, their percentages go way down. Well, it didn't work that night because we had people there with a hand in their face for the majority of those three-point shots. But they knocked them down, and I think they were, you know, 7 of 9 or something in the first half and just really hot. And even so, we didn't shoot the ball well, and we're still only down 10. And then we came out the third quarter and shut them down for 4 straight possessions, but we came up empty on the other end. And, you know, and then we jump into a trap where we're trying to, you know, gain some ground, and things just got out of hand in a hurry. And even though the score ended up, you know, 20 or 25 point loss for us, it was a much closer game than that. That's hard to say that, but that's the way I look at it. And they're a very good team. And then the next night they didn't shoot the ball well at all. And you saw the results of that. So it's just kind of teams that use that three-point shot as much as we do, or Richfield or anybody, it kind of comes and goes. And when it's going, boy, it's really fun to watch. When it's not going, it's a struggle.
Yeah, in this game, Coach, Kyson Stilson's held to about 10 points. And if I go back over the season, and this is just talking off of the top of my head, I know that Kyson was held under 10 points the last time we saw Richfield in Richfield. We go back to the first meeting in Castledale. And like I said, there was a late run in that game that made the score. It gave us a chance, I guess, late in that contest. Kyson did go off for 29 in that particular game, but a lot of it was in the fourth quarter. So I guess the question is, what did Richfield do defensively to neutralize Kyson over the last two meetings?
Well, I think the one thing is they got that little kid, Emmett Hafen, is just a fierce, competitive athlete, extremely strong, extremely competitive, and just a fierce defender. And they put him on Kyson, and that gets Kyson off to a slow start. And then Brack started coming open a little bit. I think in the midway through the third quarter, they switched him over on Brack and tried to slow him down. But, you know, that kid is just a tough, tough competitive kid, and single-handedly kind of took care of Kyson that first little bit. And then when, you know, Kyson didn't get off to a good start, and then he had a hard time getting going after they switched him off. And we didn't recognize it real well and try to get the ball in Kyson's hands as much, you know, once that kid got onto Brax. But that's a big, you know, to me, that's a big part of their success against Kyson, because nobody slowed Kyson down at all this year except him. And so, he's just a tough kid.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Basketball Team. Coach, I know that the goal is always a state championship. That's why you play the game. But when you look at a third-place finish for this team, I deem it a successful season. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Well, I think it's really a successful season. You know, I look back over the year, and the two games that kind of hurt me the most were at Richfield and at Manti, where I felt like we played well enough to win games, and then circumstances just kind of took over and took the games away from us. But, you know, in reality, I like the place we landed in the state tournament. You know, we ended up with South Summit, a team that we'd beat earlier, even though they were a 2 seed and we ended up a 4 seed. I felt really good about that matchup. And then, you know, I even felt better about Grand in the quarterfinal. And so the way it worked out, I like where we landed. You know, the fact that we finished 4th in region and then turn around and finished 3rd in the state tournament was a bonus. And the one thing I feel best about with our team was, is I felt like we got better each week and each practice. We just kept getting getting better and better, and we're, you know, doing some nice things clear through the end. And I don't think there was any letdown from our guys, and they worked hard and really did a nice job right through to the last game.
Looking at the underclassmen, Coach, we can talk about the seniors in a moment, but the future of this program, I like these seniors a lot on this year's team. I mean, I really do. I like the senior class. So if we look ahead to what's coming back next year, maybe the year after, we don't talk a whole lot about the underclassmen, the JV and the sophomore group. How do you feel that they kind of evolved throughout the year?
I think, you know, my junior class this year, you know, guys to be seniors next year, really solid bunch. And they're all basketball guys, you know, all five of them kind of basketball is their top priority, you know, starting with Brax, and he's been a two-year starter. So we look for him to really take care of business. And then Kyler Wilstead is just undersized each night, but is such an athlete and such a competitor. And, you know, he doesn't back down from anybody. And then, you know, Justin Rasmussen will give us a little bit of height that we were missing this year, and he's come a long ways. And Jordan Eckers, just a scrappy little kid that just really gets into people and gets after people and could score at will. And then Seth Justice is just, you know, turned into a very nice basketball player. And the thing I like about that group is they're, you know, they all have their role. They all play within their role really well. And, you know, they'll have Riggs Griffin probably coming off the bench to help them out a little bit. And so it's a real solid bunch and really excited for next year.
We'll talk about the senior class, of course. Kyson, who put together one of the most really dominating tears offensively that we've seen in a very long time, Coach. I mean, there was like a 4 or 5 game stretch this season where he was scoring anywhere from 30 to 40 plus a night. I mean, it was insane. And we've seen a lot of efficient scorers over the last 10 years since I've been here. But I'll tell you, Kyson, that 4 or 5 game span in the middle of region play, Coach, it was borderline incredible.
Well, it really was. And that's what he brings to the table. He's you know, not the quickest kid, but he's got this spurts of quickness, and he gets people off balance, and he just blows by them. And he just so fun to watch, and he gets the basket well. He scores from the free throw line, and then when he combines that with, you know, on nights where he shoots that 3-point shot, he's nearly unguardable. And just, you know, put together a great year, super scorer, and we're really going to miss that 25 points a game that he brings.
There's no question. We've talked about Cade and what he kind of added to the team, Coach. Brody Tuttle, I thought, was similar to Cade. When he was working offensively as well, again, it was a different element for this team. And we go back to the Grand game. Brody was phenomenal in that contest. Go to the South Summit game. He was terrific defensively. Brody was kind of one of those, you know, one of those quote-unquote role players, but a key role player throughout the season.
Really was, you know, and like a lot of our guys, when he got that 3-point shot rolling, we were a different team. And against Grant, he was the guy that was coming open, and he just knocked shots down and really got us off to a good start there. And then defensively, gets his hands on so many balls and is really disruptive in those passing lanes. And I think, you know, that's something that we'll miss in the future with Brody as well.
The two bench guys, Coach, that I really had a lot of fun watching, Mason Flamalo and Rance Jensen. These are two kids that they're smaller kids, but you'd never know it if you watched them play. I mean, these are kids that play like they're 6'4", 6'5", down low.
Really do. Mason's defense was just phenomenal all year. He's got long arms and great anticipation and just does a super job for us. And he hit some key 3-point shots for us throughout the year as well. And so, you know, he got to where he could just really finish around the basket. Brax found him a lot on some, you know, baseline cuts and backdoor cuts, and he just really finished that well. And then Rance is just a tough kid. He's just, you know, a tough athlete. And you think Kyler Wilstead's undersized. That, you know, that it takes it to a little bit more of an undersized with Rance, but he doesn't give an inch anywhere. He rebounds well. Just so scrappy and so fierce of a competitor. And, you know, we're going to miss all five of those guys.
Coach, it was definitely a fun season. I think you hit it right on the head. This group got better as the year went on. And that's always the fun part about high school basketball. I know we've had teams in the past, but when we started the season, we knew this was going to be a state championship contender. I don't know that I didn't know that at the beginning of the season if this team was going to be, but as they continue to get better, you start thinking, you know what? They get hot. They can beat anybody in the state. That's why I think I had so much fun with this team for that very reason.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think we got better, and these kids competed, and they really found ways to win. One of the most satisfying things for me as a coach was to show up at warm-ups, and people in the stands would look at our guys and say, hey, they don't have a chance against this other team. You know, the other team's down there running a dunk drill with 5-6 guys that are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", and throwing every kind of dunk down that they can, and they look at our guys, and then you know, once the game starts, you say, hey, these guys can play. And that's very satisfying as a coach to know that you're outsized night in and night out, and to be able to find ways to compete and thrive in that situation. And our guys really took that challenge seriously, and each night we really competed. I don't remember a game where, you know, we might have lost by 20 points a couple of times, but you know, even those games, I thought we were competitive and fiercely in the game right to the end, and our guys really competed well through the year, and really proud of them.
Coach, again, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I thank you for taking out the time each week throughout the season, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again real soon.
Sure enough, and thanks for all you do for our program, Jordan. You're so awesome, and just look forward to talking to you each week.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. That's a great compliment. I really appreciate it. I'm going to miss talking Emory High School basketball. We will talk with Coach Lynn Tuttle next week, and then that's going to do it for high school basketball for 2018-2019. And more coming up on the local sports front. When we return, we're going to move over to talk high school baseball. That starts on Tuesday, believe it or not. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dinos will join us in studio when we return.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow.
It's baseball time. Can't believe it. Winter sports is done. We're gearing up for baseball, which begins on Tuesday for both Carbon and Emory. And on Monday on the show, we're going to hear from Coach Rob Smith of the Emory Spartans. Today, we are going to focus on Carbon High School. And back at the helm once again, Jeff Cincinnatus, manager of the Carbon Dino baseball team, and he is joining us in the studio right now. Coach, it's always fun to get you in. It's that time of the year again. Thank you.
Yeah, it is time. It seemed like it got here pretty quick, but like we talked about a month ago, I knew it would get here awful fast, and unfortunate for us, the snow is still outside, which makes it doesn't look like baseball season, but it is here. Like you said, we play on March 5th, which is next Tuesday, and the season will be in full swing, I mean, starting next week, so you know, we don't have time to worry about weather or anything else because it's time to get going with our baseball season.
Yeah, we'll talk about the schedule in just a moment, but first off, tryouts. How did that whole process go, and are you happy with the turnout that you had this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you always, as a coach, you never want to cut anyone, so you always hope you don't have to. On the other hand, you always hope you have 100 kids out to want to play for your team, too, and so it's kind of a two-way street. I mean, I'm glad I didn't, you know, have that many kids out that we did have to cut, but the turnout was good. You know, it's hard to do things in the gym. We've been in the gym now since last October, and I basically told the kids, you know, eight weeks ago, that tryouts really started then. I mean, if you think I can look at someone for 2 days in the gym and decide whether or not they're a good baseball player, it's just not going to happen. And unfortunate for us, we haven't had a chance to get outside. I may have kept some kids that can't catch a fly ball, can't have live pitching. I don't know that. You try and use your best instinct and have your coaches look at guys in the batting cage and whatnot and everything else in the gym and go from there. But, you know, the kids who came on a consistent basis and we got an opportunity to see them and evaluate them are ultimately the kids that we kept. And, you know, I mean, we have to go with that decision and hopefully it pays off for us and we made the right decision. But, you know, there's always an opportunity that you cut somebody you shouldn't have. And I told the younger guys that I did let go, that I really want them to come out and play for our summer program and let us see them play in that atmosphere and have a chance to get better and come back and try out next year. And that's all you can ask for, is that kids continue to to try and work hard and get better. I preach, you know, competition every day to my guys, that every day is a competition. You're competing for something every day. And as long as we're competing every day, we're going to get better. And so, you know, that's what we're going to do.
Coach, we'll talk about the senior class that you have coming back. I know last year there were a lot of kids that had given you some quality innings that had really been a part of the program for a long time. And in that, they had some success in getting to the state championship game. This year, I know there is a lot of hype building around Ty Anderson. It's a kid that will play his college ball right here in town next year. That's already a done deal. So talk to me about the senior class and what you have coming back in that regard.
Well, you mentioned Ty, and obviously he's been a big part of our success. You know, he's going to come back and play the shortstop position for us and you know, probably right now lead off again as he did all last year. And, you know, when I look at Ty and his baseball knowledge and his work ethic, and I hope that wears off on everyone on our team. Ty is a hard worker. He just come off, you know, a good basketball season. I thought he worked his tail off in basketball this season. And, you know, his size may hold him back in basketball, but I don't think it'll ever hold him back in baseball. And, you know, he continues to work hard. He's going to be, you know, a really good player, which, you know, he already is. But the senior class, we have seven seniors this year, which, again, is a big class when you look at it. We graduated 10 last year. You know, you think after you graduate 10 seniors, you're going to come back and maybe only have one or two, but we've got seven seniors back, you know, which four of those guys really seen a significant amount of varsity time last year. You know, we talked about Ty. Adrian Sanchez has been seeing a lot of varsity time since his sophomore season. Got Braxton Bennett, who, you know, seen time last year at second base. Also did a lot of DHing for us at the varsity level. Colin Lewis, you know, seen significant time for us at the varsity level last year. And then, of course, Anthony Jones was our starting catcher the entire year. So, you know, we're going to rely on those guys a lot. But, you know, Nathan Richens pitched very well for us last year at the underclassmen level and was throwing really well in the summer until he had an injury that took him out of the rest of the summer league. But, you know, we're going to rely on him in the outfield and on the pitcher's mound. And we've got you know, John Zamatakis in the outfield is another senior that we're going to rely heavily on. So I'm happy with our senior class. For the most part, those guys have gotten, you know, some experience at the varsity level and played some really good time at the JV level. And then we've got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores that are going to push those guys every day, you know, for positions. And, you know, the junior class is a small class. We kept five juniors. You know, we really only had, you know, six or seven try out. So it's not a big class, but there are a couple of those juniors that I see starting right now at the varsity level and giving us some significant minutes. And I hope the rest of them work hard enough that they're contributing by the end of the year. So, you know, I'm excited. I say we're going to be young, but then you say, well, you got seven seniors. How are you young? But, you know, there are some young kids that have the potential to be playing varsity minutes or innings before the year's over.
Again, we're being joined right now by Jeff Coach Cincinnatus of the Carbon High School baseball squad. Coach, we'll look at the schedule. You guys will open things up Tuesday against Cypress on the road, and then that's the annual trip to the Pizza Hut Classic, so we'll get some warm weather in here over the next little while. But that's a great five-game stretch to kind of open up the season, and that's all next week.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, once next week gets here, I mean, we're knee-deep into it. And, you know, again, I scheduled our preseason as tough as I possibly could with good teams that are close to us here. You know, we'll jump up and play Salem Hills again this year, Provo. You know, we open up with Cypress. That's a big school, you know, predominantly had a very good baseball program. Going down to St. George again, you know, those schools are always tough, and we're going to play bigger schools down there right off the bat. And, you know, and all those schools have been outside down there, you know, the entire winter. And so, again, they're going to be way ahead of us when it comes to on-field things. But we use the preseason every year, Jordan, is basically, you know, a bar to set to see where we're at and where we need to be by time region play rolls around. And, you know, hopefully, again, that we get better throughout our preseason. You know, record-wise, I don't know what it's going to look like when the preseason's over. And realistically, it doesn't matter as long as we're getting better every day. And our guys are getting some quality at bats and seeing a lot of things. And we're going to change some things up this year. You know, I'm going to rely heavily upon a lot more discipline in our program to do a lot of things. And, you know, we're going to see how that goes. And so again, you know, preseason is what it is to get better, and hopefully by region time, because I believe our region is going to be the toughest in 3A this year, with teams like Union, ourselves, JUAB. You know, I see all three of those teams with an opportunity to be playing on the last day in May, and they're all good programs. And so, you know, we're going to have our hands full with JUAB and Union in our region, and you never know what the Providence Halls and the ALAs will present, you know, year in and year out. So we'll go from there. And, you know, another team I'll mention is Richfield. You know, they bring back a lot from a team that went pretty deep last year in the state tournament. And they're going to be a team that, you know, by the end of the year are going to be reckoned with. So, you know, we got a lot of good teams in 3A, but we're going to test our knowledge and our game in the 4A and 5A ranks in our preseason.
You know, the last five-game stretch on the schedule, Union, Emory for one game, and then two with JUAB. I mean, that's it's a pretty important stretch all the way around.
I mean, again, Emory, you know, bringing back some quality players from a year ago, and you know, again, it's a rival for us. You know, we're going to be in the same region again next year, which I think is great. You know, and I hope they have all the success that they want this coming baseball season. And you know, I look forward to, you know, the time that we're going to spend playing them and whatnot. But and you talk about finishing out the region season with Union and JUAB, and again, you know, it's going to be like last year. I'm afraid that the last game of the region season is going to determine the state, you know, the region champion, and hopefully we're right there playing for that region championship again in that game, and a chance to move on and have a higher seed in the state tournament. So again, those two teams, especially Union, if I had to pick one right now, I think they would be the best team in our region starting out-wise. You know, you always want to pick your team up there, but I also want our team to know that they have some work to do to get back to the status where we was last year. We had a very good program last year. We lost a lot of very important players. They're big shoes to fill, but I feel if these guys will work hard, I like what I see so far, even in the gym. I just hope we can get outside here before too long and start working outside. But I'm excited, and I'm also a little nervous because I really don't know what to expect from this year's group. You know, the expectations for me are always a state championship, and that's what our expectations are. And I would never set that expectation if I didn't think we could reach that goal. So I just hope our guys get on board, and that's what we're doing.
Now, we'll end with this, Coach. I know there have been some new names, some new faces, right, shuffled through as far as your coaching staff goes in the dugout this year.
Yeah, again, at the varsity level, you're going to see some familiar guys. Coach Kyle Abeda is going to be there off and on. You know, he's been with me for quite a few years now. Coach Bennett, Brett Bennett, you know, was a head coach at Carbon High, has helped out last year. He'll be back at the varsity level. Ken Sorensen is a gentleman who started to help out a little bit last year, you know, brings a lot of knowledge, kind of the old school mentality, attitude, you know, and is a little rough on the edges, but I like what Coach Sorensen brings to our program and things. And then we hired a couple of new assistant coaches, some younger guys that just got out of college. Cooper Thorpe played here at the college, and Seth Butterfield, both, you know, he played here at the college too, and both of them are really fresh faces. Cooper Thorpe's brother is the head coach at Payson, and so there's a lot of knowledge with these young guys and what they're going to bring to our program, and I'm excited about their enthusiasm and what they're going to bring to us. So I think our coaching staff is set up pretty well, and you know, I know they're going to work hard, and you know, I'm excited about what they're going to bring to us.
Definitely excited about the baseball season, Coach. Again, next week it gets real for you guys. I appreciate you stopping by to talk a little bit about the team. What you guys will actually have as far as the depth and the personnel and also the coaching staff. Coach, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino baseball team. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports right after this.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
That's Dame Lillard welcoming you back to this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Farm Studios. KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm going to end by talking about Damian Lillard. He was recently talking to Yahoo Sports Chris Haynes on a podcast. And here's the quote. "I'm not willing to sell myself out for championships." And this particular subject has kind of been the talk for like the last week. I know we're just getting to it. But to me, it's worthy, right? Because a lot of people are asking, was this a shot at LeBron James? Was it a shot at Kevin Durant? Maybe even Anthony Davis. And while I don't think that Damian Lillard was directly talking about anyone specifically, all three players that I just mentioned, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, fall in the category of what Damian Lillard believes is wrong with the league. He was talking about loyalty during this interview with Chris Haynes. He said there are other things more important to him. He wants to win a championship, but at the same time, those actions affect everyone around him. And he is 100% correct, and I applaud Damian Lillard. Was it a shot at LeBron James? Not directly, but LeBron falls in that category. LeBron left Cleveland for the first time about 10 years ago, and he started this new fraternity mindset in the NBA. That 2006 class, in my mind, is responsible for it. Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, these are all guys that wanted to play with each other, and they brought in a new mindset to the league. And I'm not a fan of it. I've said that multiple times on the show. And now, more than ever, we realize it's an agent-driven league in the NBA. And the reason we realize it now more than ever is because we have social media. Everything is out there. You're not going to keep things quiet for long. Everybody wants to break something. Rumors and sources are leaked by agents. It's an agent-driven league. As soon as Anthony Davis signed on with Clutch Sports, we knew that the rumor mill would start turning. There's a chance he would join the Lakers. And then we had the debacle at the All-Star break, or right before the All-Star break, the trade deadline. Would AD be moved to LA? It was a mess. Destroyed team chemistry in Los Angeles. And because of it, they're not going to make the playoffs. Anthony Davis tried to go around the same footing. In New Orleans, he's gone to the playoffs. We don't know a whole lot about him because it's a smaller market team. I get that. We don't know as much about him as we should because I believe he's top two, top three in the world right now. Now, while he didn't necessarily dictate where he was going to play, he tried to push New Orleans' hand. Did he sell out? Yes, he did. Kevin Durant, the ultimate sellout, and I have no problem saying it. Was it his right as a free agent to join Golden State? Absolutely. And did he leave Oklahoma City to go to a situation that gave him a better chance to win a championship? Absolutely. But at what cost is it worth it? And I think that's what Damian Lillard is saying. I'll never view Kevin Durant the same way. And my all-time great conversations, and that's all just opinion-based, I get it. But even when you're sitting around with your friends and you're talking about the greatest ever, will Kevin Durant ever pop up? No. It won't. You know, you look at players, you look at the different eras in the NBA, the golden era of the NBA. The Chicago Bulls hated the Detroit Pistons. The Boston Celtics hated the Detroit Pistons. The Lakers and the Celtics hated one another. The Lakers and the Rockets and the Lakers and the Blazers, those were rivalries. You go to the 90s, we had rivalries. Players legitimately did not like one another. And for me, that's compelling basketball. That's a compelling story. Damian Lillard, I'm going to put him in the same classification as Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook could have left OKC. He didn't. He could have. Russell Westbrook won the MVP the year after his team lost arguably one of the best players in the NBA, arguably the best player in the NBA. MVP took his team to the playoffs. Had an opportunity to get out, put his trust in Sam Presti. Oklahoma City goes out. They grab Paul George. You can't say that Russell Westbrook is cut from the same cloth of LeBron James. You can't say he's cut from the same cloth as Kevin Durant because he's not. And I think Damian Lillard is making sure that we classify him in that same field as someone like Russell Westbrook, who's not going to put his team in rebuild mode just so he can join other superstars and win a championship. And look, the NBA would not be where it's at today if it wasn't for the likes of those Pistons, Celtics, Lakers, Bulls squads from the late 80s, early 90s. Because the rivalries drove the NBA for so long. And I am not a fan of the fraternity mindset. And at some point in time, I think it will go away. But I look at that 2006 draft class, I can pinpoint that's where this fraternity attitude came from. And at the head of that whole class, it is LeBron James. So based off everything that I just said, which is all opinion, if you believe Dame Lillard took a direct shot at LeBron James, he didn't. But the situation in itself absolutely fits that conversation, right? It absolutely fits that plot. Because those are the front runners in the league today. Those are the guys that are the face of the league. And what they have done is sell out to win championships. That's my opinion on the Damian Lillard conversation. Out of time on the show. We're going to send you out to the BDAC in just a moment. Sonny Buscarini and Greg Darter standing by. USU Eastern Women's Basketball is coming up next here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.